Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I'm going to mention the understanding of 14 of the last surahs, not the very last ones, but the ones before the very last surahs of the Quran, which are a part of the last group of surahs of the Quran, the seventh group. The seventh group of the Quranic surahs is primarily focusing its attention on mentioning the passages that were revealed on the Prophet, Allah's mercy be on him, towards the very beginning of his prophetic mission, generally speaking. And the message is inzar, warning, to help people realize that the punishment of the Almighty is round the corner, and it's going to overwhelm them if they are not going to improve their approach and mend their ways and would not react properly to the message that is being delivered to them. The first of the surahs that I have to talk of is Surah Al-Mursalat, which is quite similar in its beginning to Surah Az-Zariyat as well as An-Naziat. In all these three surahs, we begin by the mention of an oath, a vow, which is with regards to the winds that blow. And through the blowing of winds, we find that the Almighty arranges to get various different tasks done. At times, these winds help in achieving tasks which are for the betterment of mankind. And at times, they blow to destroy and to inflict punishments on some nations which have gone astray. So that the idea is that the Almighty presents as an evidence to the people who were denying the possibility of a punishment in this world and in the hereafter. He produces for evidence the winds, which at times they blow mildly, softly, and on other occasions they are so swift, they're so harsh, that they cause nations to be destroyed. Surah Al-Mursalat goes on to mention the blessings of the Almighty, to ask as to whether the people who are denying the message, they will be rescued. And a verse which is frequently recurring is the verse, وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ, that is, curse be on them who have denied the message of God. So that at times there are verses which are talking about the blessings of the Almighty, followed by this recurring verse. At times the Almighty mentions the miracle of man's birth, the way he was created by the Almighty. And then the Almighty asks, Almighty raises the same point, that on the Day of Judgment, people who have not paid heed to the call of the messengers towards the right path, they are going to be cursed. And finally, he describes the hell and its punishments, and again says that on that day, those people who were bent upon denying the message of God are going to be the ones who will be cursed. This surah is followed by the next surah, An-Naba, which partners with this surah to form a pair. In Surah An-Naba, the Almighty talks of the discussion, questions, the debate that was raised by the invitation of the Quran to the people of Mecca to believe in the life hereafter. And it talks about the fact that there were many people who were raising doubts against the possibility of a life hereafter. But from a surah, from verse 5 onwards, the Almighty in this surah mentions a number of blessings that he has showered upon humankind to enable them to live a decent life of beauty, of comfort, of luxury, a life which enables humans to be able to meet their needs without any difficulty. And then he goes on to mention, Inna yawmal fasli kana miqata, indeed, the Day of Judgment, the day when all people are going to be gathered together, it is bound to happen and take place. The idea is that if humans have been given blessings, blessings that we all need, and they are being given those blessings in abundance without them really deserving them, and then The people still believe that there is not going to be a life of accountability, a day of accountability and judgment. That is most certainly not possible. Because in this worldly life of ours, we know that if there are blessings, if there are virtues, if there are facilities provided, then there is always the concept of accountability following them. The more the blessings are provided, the more amenities provided to humans, the more they are accountable. Likewise is going to be the case with human beings. And then the Almighty describes the hell and the heaven, and also says that this message is meant to enable all humankind to prepare themselves for the ultimate day of resurrection, when God Almighty is going to ask everybody with regard to what they were doing in this worldly life. And he says that nobody will be able to come to the rescue of anybody else on the day of judgment. Everyone shall be held accountable in accordance with his or her performance. The next two surahs are again in the form of a pair. The very next surah is Surah An-Naziat, which again begins by the mention of different aspects of the blowing of winds, and brings home the same point that if winds, through their process of blowing in different forms on different occasions, can cause different results to happen, to take place, then it is very much possible and likely for the Almighty, who is the one who masters these winds and enables them to blow in different ways, to ensure that a day of resurrection, when people are going to be first destroyed and then recreated, that too is possible. And then he goes on to mention the story of Musa alayhi salam and Pharaoh, and mentions that this story has a very important lesson to be learned by all people, that there was a great king of unbelievable strength and authority. And yet, after he denied the message that was put across to him by a messenger of God, he was destroyed by the Almighty through his natural calamities, through the water that overtook not only him, but his entire army. And then thereafter, the Almighty mentions, like he had mentioned in the previous surah, many of his blessings, and brings home the same point that if blessings have been provided to man without him deserving them, it is but likely, natural, and understandable that the Almighty is going to make humans accountable for whatever deeds they are doing, because blessings are followed by accountability. Then the Almighty mentions in this surah that there are going to be two categories of people. People who have lived this life without any principles, without any scruples, without any real realization of the fact that they are going to be held accountable before the Almighty. Such are the people who will be destined to the hell because of the way they misbehaved in the worldly life. On the other hand, there are going to be people who will live this life in a manner that they would always remember that they are going to be held accountable before the Almighty. And as a consequence of this feeling, they'll always put checks on their desires, vain desires, and lead a disciplined life. Surah Naziat is followed by Surah Abasa, Abasa wa Tawalla. This surah begins with a message to the Prophet, Allah's mercy be on him, that his task is to deliver the message. His task is not to convince anyone by all means. It really has been a message that is delivered through a very moving example of a companion of the Prophet who, although was blind, yet was extremely interested in knowing what the message of God was. But the Prophet, in his exuberance to convince some of the leaders of Quraysh, was a bit unmindful of the interest shown by this blind companion. And when he was urging him to pay attention to him, there were signs of discomfort and reluctance on the face of the prophet. The Almighty mentioned to the prophet that this reaction of his to what the blind companion was doing was not something that the Almighty expected from him. The Almighty expects the prophet to pay attention to the needs of those people who are interested in the message of God. He is not interested in the people who are not inclined towards his message, even though those people are rich, are famous, or are powerful. This message is followed by the fact that the Almighty clarifies that the message of God is a message which has come from the heavens. It comes through angels. It is written by the scribes who are most respected. And therefore, the Almighty is only going to allow those people to accept and benefit from this message who are really inclined towards understanding it, who are interested in the message, who value it and its significance. Thereafter, there is this mention of the fact, like in the case of the earlier two surahs, that the Almighty's blessings, the way he has showered upon us in the form of our food, which the Almighty enables us to get through fruits, vegetables, and many other ways. These blessings of the Almighty are an indication of the fact that humankind has been given lots of privileges, and after privileges, they've got to be held accountable. And then there is a brief mention of what is going to happen on the day of accountability. After these two pairs of surahs, we have one pair of surahs, which is Surah Takwir and Surah Infitar, which are giving a very clear and vivid picture of the details of the Day of Judgment. So that in Surah Takwir, what we find is that there are a number of events that have been mentioned towards the beginning of the surah, events that are going to take place on the Day of Judgment when the trumpet is going to be blown and when everything in this worldly life is going to come to a standstill and is going to be destroyed, and there is going to be a huge impact of the violent movement of the earth and the oceans and the different aspects of the disaster that are going to take place on the Day of Judgment. So that in Surah Takwir, we have the vivid picture of turbulent times of the Day of Judgment that have been described in a manner that we can as if see the picture of it right before our eyes. And this mention is followed by the fact that on that day, people would come to know as to what they had done in the worldly life, what opportunities they have left behind in the worldly life where they could have performed and could have reaped rich benefits in the future. And the Quran goes on to mention that the people who are ignoring this message are doomed on the Day of Judgment, and they have not done enough to understand and appreciate what the Almighty has done to guide them. They have not even been able to value their own prophet, the one about whom they know that he is a noble person, somebody who was never capable of doing anything other than what was absolutely top rank as far as character and morality was concerned. He was not the kind of person who was ever interested in letting people know about the unseen world. He is somebody who is perfectly honest and dedicated to the cause of benefit of humanity. Surah Takwir is followed by Surah Infitar, which is a brief repeat of the message of Surah Takwir, but in a different way. In Surah Infitar, we again have the first four verses, which are describing a few events, a few accidents that are going to take place on the Day of Judgment. And it is followed by the understanding that on the day of judgment, when such changes are going to take place, which are going to completely transform the scene of this world and its planet. And as a result, there are going to be people who will face the consequences. The Almighty laments the fact that humankind has not been able to respond properly and positively to the opportunity provided to them by the Almighty. And the later part of the surah describes that the accountability process on the Day of Judgment is going to be absolutely perfect, and it will not have any weaknesses in the system of justice, and only the Almighty Himself is going to take care of the entire proceedings of the Day of Judgment, and He will decide on the basis of merit, and nobody shall be able to escape punishment who deserved to be punished by the Almighty. After these two surahs, there is another pair of surahs which comprises of Surah Mutaffifin and Surah Inshiqaq. Both surahs are again describing the events of the life hereafter, the Day of Judgment, and what is going to follow. In Surah Mutaffifin, the Almighty is clarifying the fact that the people who commit fraud, the people who indulge in immoral acts during their day-to-day life, in their business deals, wherein they do not weigh and measure properly when they are selling their products, but they expect that when they buy similar products from others, justice should be done to them, in that they should be given proper weight, in proper weight and in proper measure. The Almighty says that if such traders who are giving people less and expecting from them more, are they not mindful of the fact that they are going to face the Almighty on a mighty day when nobody is going to come to their rescue? And he clarifies that people who continue to commit fraud, indulge in immoral activities, these are the people who get their hearts tainted. And as a result, they lose the ability to be able to appreciate what is right, what is true from God. And as a result, when the message of God is recited before them, they say, Asatirul Awwaleen. These are just the stories of the earlier ancient people. The Almighty clarifies that the book that He has revealed is not stories of the earlier people. It's the message of God. But these people have not been able to appreciate and value it because they have lost the inner sense of appreciation because of the wrong deeds that they did. And then the Quran mentions some of the details of what is going to happen on the Day of Judgment. In the next surah, Surah Inshiqaq, there is again this mention of the turbulent times of the Day of Judgment. It is followed by a mention that these times are going to take place. The earth is going to react on the Day of Judgment in a manner which man has not been accustomed to be witnessing from it, because God Almighty is going to ask the earth to behave like that. Likewise is going to be the case of the heavens. So that the idea is that the entire existence of this universe is within the grasp and the control of the Almighty, and He is able to enable all His existence, all that He has created, to behave the way He wants them to behave. Thereafter, we have got four more surahs, which primarily are talking about the manner the Prophet, Allah's mercy be on him, was able to deliver the message, and the manner there were difficulties that he was facing because he was inviting people to have faith in the life hereafter, and because he was asking them to behave accordingly. One of the surahs is Surah Buruj, which gives the picture of the Meccan society in the earlier Meccan period, when the Prophet, when he delivered the message, and some of the people, mostly poor people, young people, embraced Islam, they were subjected to torture and persecution by their relatives. The Almighty mentions that such people are going to face extreme punishment on the day of judgment because of what they did to the poor believers. And he says that the only reason, the only crime that they committed was that they believed in the great might of God Almighty. They believed in the fact that there is a creator and is a mighty creator. People who indulge in such vices, in persecution of the weak and the feeble, who believe in God Almighty and His message, such tyrant people are going to be subjected to extreme punishment from the Almighty on the day of judgment. Such people will not be able to escape God Almighty's wrath. And then he goes out to say that God is in full control and command. He is also loving and He knows everything what is going on, and He is able to exercise His full control over everything that people do. It's only that for the sake of trial that the Almighty has arranged this worldly life to be allowed to proceed in a manner that people are at liberty to do whatever they want to do, whatever they choose to do. And while they go through this process of exercising their own freedom and choice, sometimes they can become such tyrant people, unfair on others, that they cause extreme injuries and losses to weak people simply because they are weak. But the message is that the Almighty is not going to spare any of those tyrant people who inflicted punishment on the poor believers. Surah Buruj is followed by Surah Tariq, which is again a partner surah of Surah Buruj. And in this particular surah, the Almighty clarifies that what people are doing, everything is being witnessed. So that man should not be mistaken by the fact that while he is performing his acts in this worldly life, apparently nobody seems to be around and nobody seems to be witnessing what we are doing. The Almighty says, "In kullu nafsil lamma alayha hafiz." There is none in this world except that he or she has a hafiz, a controller, a scribe, a witness, a writer who is making note of everything that we are doing. So that our tendency to behave incorrectly owes itself primarily to the fact that we are mistaken by the fact that we are free. We are at liberty to do whatever we want to, no matter what we are doing is right or whether it's wrong, because we apparently feel that there is nobody around us to make note of what we are doing. But this is a serious mistake. And the Almighty mentions that the people who have gone against the message of the Almighty, the leaders of Quraysh, they believe that they are making a plan and conspiring against the messenger. But the Almighty assures that it is He who has a plan in mind, and His plan is going to prevail, because it's only God who really has all the might and all the facilities at His disposal. And He is going to cause the enemies of the message of the messenger of God to be completely destroyed and punished through His ultimate decision. May Allah Almighty enable us to understand the message of the Quran properly, and may He enable us to follow it as best as we can.